Welcome, Joan. It's been a week since we've seen you here in studio. A lot of things have been going on. Number one, everybody has been watching what's been happening in the United States from Europe and from Rome here. And of course, the Vatican and Pope Benedict did send a letter of congratulations to Barack Obama for winning the presidential elections in the U.S.
He did indeed. He sent a message, which part of which says, because the Vatican said they were not going to release the whole message because it was a personal message sent from the Holy Father to the president-elect via, obviously, the U.S. ambassador to the Holy See. And part of the Pope's message is he sent his blessing so that God will support him and the American people. And he hopes that all people of goodwill can work to build a world of peace, solidarity, and justice. And then, of course, Father Lombardi, head of the press office, head of Vatican Radio and Television, he also was asked by journalists, obviously, for his hopes and an opinion and so forth. And he said, all of us are hoping that Obama will be able to meet the expectations and hopes directed at him. And he said he hoped that the man elected to be the United States is, as a matter of fact, it will be the first African-American president, which is why it was a historic moment, that he would work for the cause of right and justice and of rights, that make that plural, and justice, finding suitable ways to promote peace in the world, fostering people's development and dignity while respecting essential human and spiritual values. The faithful are praying, said Father Lombardi, so that God will enlighten him and give him a hand in his huge responsibility and that he will govern well. And as you said in opening remarks, obviously, this is something, is any other election watched around the world as carefully, at least a political election, as carefully as that of the United States?
So that's one of the big events, of course, which has been watched very carefully throughout Europe and especially here in the Vatican. But also another thing that we've been seeing going on here in the Vatican or in Rome is this Muslim-Catholic dialogue, which has been going on. It started on Tuesday, November 4th. A group of Muslim scholars came from their various countries, some of whom I've spoken with actually from here in Europe. And they're here to meet with the Catholic scholars to talk about where we can go from here in terms of dialogue.
It's called the Catholic Muslim Forum, and they've held, like you said, their very first seminar in Rome. And their final message is being released really as we speak, because we do tape this show a bit earlier. So,
they were supposed to meet actually this day on Thursday with Pope Benedict.
With the Holy Father, exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this really goes back to this meeting had its genesis, if you will, in 2006. And we really have to go back to September 12, 2006, when Pope Benedict gave his now very famous speech at the University of Regensburg when he was visiting his native Germany. And the actual title of his speech was Faith, Reason, and the University, Memories and Reflections, because, of course, he taught at Regensburg University for so many years. In the midst of that speech, very, very few words, one paragraph out of a 4,000-word speech, the Holy Father did quote remarks on Islam by a 14th-century Byzantine emperor, Manuel Palaeologus. And his comments, because of a sentence about Muhammad, did inflame Muslims worldwide. They condemned the speech. They asked the Pope for an apology and so forth. Well,
but he was quoting a Byzantine emperor.
Yes. And those were not his remarks. He made that in ensuing weeks and months very, very clear, the Pope did, that those were not his feelings. He did not share that point of view or anything. And so then the very day after he's made Secretary of State, Cardinal Bertone, on September 16th, he'd been made a day earlier Secretary of State, he issued a clarification of the Pope's speech. On September 17th and 20th of 2006, so respectively the Angelus and the Wednesday audience, the Pope again spoke of the reaction, saying he was sorry at the reaction to his Regensburg speech, and again, you know, clarified, explained his remarks. Then, interestingly, September 26th of 2006, the Pope invited to Costa Gandolfo. He invited 16 leaders of the Islamic community in Italy and 22 ambassadors accredited to the Holy See from countries with a predominantly Muslim population, and they met out at Costa Gandolfo. And then, actually, that very same year, October, just several weeks later, 38 Muslim religious scholars and leaders sent an open letter to Pope Benedict to point out, now this is quote, to point out some errors in the way you mentioned Islam. Then a year later, fast forward to October of 2007, a larger group, 138 Muslim scholars and clerics, sent another letter. It was entitled, A Common Word Between Us and You. And this is practically on the anniversary of the letter the previous year. Then October 12, 2007, a day after this open letter has been revealed, Cardinal Jean-Louis Touraine, president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, published a comment on the letter, in essence saying it was a very positive sign, an interesting letter, and a new document because it comes from both Sunni and Shia Muslims. Now, November, again, the same year, 2007, the Vatican released the text of a letter sent in the Pope's name by Cardinal Bertone, Secretary of State, to Prince Ghazi bin Mohammed bin Talal of Jordan, who was president of an Institute for Islamic Thought there. And he was one of the signatories on that earlier letter of 138 Muslim scholars. By the way, I should add, that letter, a common word, was addressed not only to Pope Benedict, but to Christian leaders throughout the world. We should make that clear. So anyway, in the letter of last November, the Pope makes it quite clear he would be very happy to meet a delegation of those 138 scholars and clerics. We just mentioned that meeting. And then there was a preliminary one. The preliminary meeting was March, 5 members from each side to set up this meeting. So the
And of course, this meeting is really just a part of what has been an ongoing dialogue between the Catholic Church and Muslim scholars that we saw really come out or get its impetus from the Second Vatican Council back in the 1960s.
Oh, that's true. There has always been a council for relations with Islam, and as there is one for relations with Jews and for promoting Christian unity. But this is like this more formal setting. This is called the Catholic-Muslim Forum. There will undoubtedly be other meetings after this November 2008 one. And the theme is very interesting of this meeting. It's love of God, love of neighbor. And they have been looking at many aspects of the question of love. It's not strictly a theological dialogue, because that's not exactly what binds the two together, if you will, but there's many other aspects of understanding God and religious freedom and so forth.
Of course, also this past week, we have seen two important feast days for the Catholic Church, All Saints and All Souls. How did the Pope remark or remember these two very important feast days for the Church?
Well, interestingly enough, this year, of course, they fell on a weekend, so there was an Angelus on Saturday, November 1st. There was a second Angelus on Sunday, November 2nd, the Feast of All Souls. And I love what the Pope said on the Feast of All Saints. He said, "The world appears to us as a garden where the Spirit of God, with marvelous ingenuity, created a multitude of male and female saints from every age and social condition, of every language, people, and culture." And he said, "Each is different from the others in the uniqueness of his or her human personality and spiritual charism. All, however, are marked by the seal of Jesus, the imprint of his love."
And of course, he was asking us at this Angelus also to use the saints as models for holiness in our own lives.
And which is why we have canonized saints in the Catholic Church. Why the Church seeks out, they have the religious leaders, why they seek out lay people to hold up as models for you, me, for everybody listening to us. Because not to say that they were born saints. They became saints because of how, with heroic virtues, they lived their lives, often of pain and of difficulty and people contrary to who they were, what they were doing, and how many of them, of course, died for their faith. Some directly. Those would be martyrs, but there's other ways of dying for your faith.
But speaking of dying, the Pope also said, in remembering All Souls Day,
sure,
we shouldn't be afraid of death.
No.
Because for Catholics, it's a beginning, isn't it?
It is. It's the end of earthly life as we know it, but it's the beginning of the life for which we were created. And I must say, a lovely thing that, of course, has been tradition now for many years in the Vatican is that the Pope went down on Sunday afternoon, about 6:30 or something like that, to the grotto area of the Vatican Basilica to pray at the tombs of deceased popes, to remember not only deceased popes, his predecessors, but also just to pray for the faithful, the departed. And so that's a very lovely custom, a very quiet moment, obviously, of reflection for the Holy Father.
We'll have to end it there, Joan.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, though, for being with us again this week. It's always a pleasure to see you and to hear, you know, what's been going on in the Vatican from your point of view. So thanks so much.
And we'll see you next week.